Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. It is Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I am in studio with Walker Wildman, Assistant to the President. Walker, tell our listeners a little bit more about the fact that we are on that there Facebook.
We're on Facebook. We're in the 21st century now, and thus we're adapting to the technology. So if you want to go watch the show, you can go to the Today's Issues Facebook page. Also go and like the show, Today's Issues on Facebook.
And if you you want to watch, again, I stress why. It never did appeal to me to watch people talking on the radio.
Yeah.
It just seems like kind of
a
bizarre.
You'd be surprised how many people like it, though, because you got like Rush Limbaugh.
And yeah, now he's the one that made it popular.
Sean Hannity and others who have these cameras in their studios, and they just talk for an hour or two.
Yeah.
But I guess people maybe aren't there to watch as much as they are to listen. They just happen to, it's easier,
yeah,
you know, to go on Facebook and listen.
So we are on Facebook. Like us. And
we have the new texting service.
Yeah, I'm going to want to mention this. We're adding a new text service for our AFR listeners, American Family Radio Text Updates. You can receive our weekly updates, one per week, via text directly to your phone. All you have to do to get that set up is text MyAFR to this number, 41411. That's 41411. That'll help you stay informed on the latest from American Family Radio. So we really are in the 21st century. And a lot of folks, if you're asking, well, why would I want to do that? Well, a lot of people don't access their email on a regular basis, or they do, and they are afraid they might miss something. This will just be an update to your phone. Most people keep it pretty close at hand, so you make sure you don't miss anything from American Family Radio. All right. We want to welcome in studio Steve Jordahl, who's a reporter and news anchor for American Family News. Steve,
good
welcome.
Good afternoon. My voice is a little on edge today, but I'll do my best. By the way, the whole podcasting thing, you know why I like that on the radio? Because unlike TV, you don't have to put makeup on when you do the radio. Which brings up the question, Ed, why do you put makeup on every day when you're in here?
I don't.
I didn't think we were going to go there.
You know, even when we were across the street and we had all our radio talk programs on camera,
yeah,
people could watch it. I would walk by and one of the ladies said, "You want makeup today?" "No, not for me." There's no way, because I knew if they put makeup on so that I looked better, I didn't say looked good, looked better on television, on video, I knew that I would forget at some point and go to a restaurant or meet my wife somewhere, and someone would look and say, "You have makeup on, why?" And
yeah,
then it's, you have to explain
have to,
it.
Yeah, I know.
So I just didn't do it. But thank you for
insulting
me in front of our millions of listeners. So, yeah, you've got a cold. So
yeah,
folks,
just a little bit of a voice thing going.
There's none of that going around. So
no, not at all.
In fact, I'd appreciate it if you didn't breathe in my direction. So if you can do this radio program by breathing opposite
towards
Brent.
Yeah.
I don't want to breathe on Brent.
All right. What kind of news stories you got for us?
Well, let me tell you, first of all, top of the news at onenewsnow.com. Top of the news at onenewsnow.com. You can read about that story you just heard in the news at the top of the hour about the priest who's being prosecuted for saving babies from abortion. And we have a story there. You heard the audio version by Charlie Butts. The written version, if you want to learn more about that story, go to onenewsnow.com, your source for all
now
news.
I was in transition here during the break, and I missed that on the news broadcast. That is a story by our own Charlie Butts on One News Now. What is that? I'm reading it here. A California Anglican priest could soon face trial for rescuing babies by convincing women not to abort them at a Planned Parenthood? How is that happening?
So this was a priest that had for a long time been standing on the corner and counseling or speaking kindly with any woman who chose to come over and talk to him. And the clinic got kind of tired of it. It was a Planned Parenthood clinic. So the director came out and said that she was going to call the police. And she said she loves going to court to prosecute people like him. So she called the police. The police got there. And then they charged him with a form of trespassing.
But now he was doing this on public property outside the Planned Parenthood abortion facility in San Bernardino. So he's being arrested for being on public property and simply inviting women to come and to speak with him?
Yeah. He was charged with a form of trespassing that has to do with the interfering with the practices of a business, according to Attorney
Okay,
Snyder.
So you can't – a public business on the sidewalk, you can't block it. That's what they're saying. So people can't
get in. If you do something – for example, if you were to stand outside of any business and say you were to have –
This company's muffins are lousy.
Yeah, but no, something that was – you were on public property in front of the store, and it's something that when people saw it, they just go, no, I don't want to go there.
Okay, yeah. I see.
So even if they're on public property, apparently, according to this law, if you're stopping people from coming in, that they can charge you. So that's what's going on there. You can read more about it.
One interesting thing about that, I think, you know, there's this one priest who's probably talking to people as they pass by on the sidewalk. I don't know this for sure, but I would doubt he's yelling at people or throwing things.
A car grabbing them.
Yeah, or saying things that are inflammatory. But you have these riots every so often, these liberal riots, and they burn buildings down. They shut down CVS pharmacies. They throw bricks through Starbucks windows, and nobody gets arrested. But a priest is over here, probably he's trying to save lives, honestly. And he gets arrested based on a technicality. I mean, this just shows.
That's a very good point, because we see these videos, and of course I don't know whether people get arrested, you know, if they find out who you are and you've burned down, maybe they prosecute you. But
a lot of times
the police just let them go.
We're all in favor of prosecuting anybody that burns down an abortion clinic.
Right.
Right. No, that's a good point.
No, I'm not talking about
abortion
clinics.
Absolutely.
I said CVS and Starbucks. I'm referring to the riots.
You're talking about the liberal riots, right?
Yeah. But
we call them liberal riots. It's liberal people. Your dad has a joke about what a conservative Christian riot would look like.
Yeah. Right.
You know, everybody's you know kind of well dressed. You have your khakis, your polo shirt.
Pick up your trash.
You pick up your trash. You pray beforehand.
I'll bring sandwiches.
Yeah, I'll bring sandwiches. That's right. That's what a conservative Christian riot would look like. We hope that we Christians wouldn't burn anything down.
Well, you look at UC Berkeley about a month or two ago when Milo Yiannopoulos came to speak, and we know his name is very controversial now, and we know why, but he was there to speak, and these students are out there, some probably weren't students, but they were out there burning, they had like a generator out there burning it in the streets, and police are just standing by, you know, they were told to stand down, and letting people burn things, and people are getting hit and punched.
And police did nothing.
Yeah, and that's in California, and under the same, probably some of the similar laws. And so you just see the hypocrisy there.
Yeah. Well, boy, there's plenty of hypocrisy to go around nowadays, and this is kind of stunning. So, folks, go to onenewsnow.com. You'll see the story from Charlie Butts. It is titled "Priest Prosecuted for Saving Babies from Abortion." All right, Steve.
All right.
What else you got?
Interesting thing going on in New York with the teachers training there. So when you go to teach school, you have to go to a teacher training. You have an education background from a college or something. And so New York State put this literacy test in, and it's not an easy pass, but they want their teachers. They put this test in the 2013 school year as part of an effort to raise the quality of teaching in New York and to weed out inferior students. To weed out inferior teachers before they get to the classroom. They have to be literate. They have to know how to read and write.
Oh, come on, Steve.
A teacher.
Come on. This is so radical.
It's breaking news.
The teachers have to be able to read and write. Okay. I'm with you so far. So New York's in favor of that. What do they do?
Well, they scrapped the test.
They scrapped the test.
It's causing concern among some groups because just 46% of Hispanic test takers and 41% of Black test takers managed to pass it in the first attempt.
This is a literacy test for people trying to become teachers.
64% of white students passed it.
So teachers, they say 64% of white teachers.
Potential teachers.
Okay.
That are training to be teachers.
So
they said diversity in our teaching is more important. Diversity in our teachers is more important than being able to read and write from the teacher's standpoint.
Steve, I don't believe this. I don't believe this story. I know it's from the Associated Press. I don't believe that the New York education officials would put diversity – okay, this is tongue firmly implanted in cheek for those of you who are listening – would put diversity ahead of whether or not potential teachers could read and write before they put them into the classroom.
Well, as you know, Fred, in today's reality – did I say Fred?
Yes. And now you're touching me and you've got germs. So. Okay.
As you know, Ed,
yes.
In today's culture, you get to define your own reality. So if you say that this isn't happening, then for you, it isn't happening.
You know,
but for the rest of us, it is.
You know, my initial thought is not very it's maybe not nice, but it's okay. My first thought is, you know what? If they want to have lower skilled teachers, you know, teachers who maybe can't read and write, which is almost laughable, but, you know, go for it. But there are kids being affected here.
Yeah.
You know, this was a private company that maybe lowered their qualifications for a job applicant, I would say, look, that's your business. Your company is going to go down the tube over the years because you're going to have lower skilled employees. That's your own problem. But in this case, there are kids that need to be taught. There are kids that are coming to school. There are taxpayers who are paying to have their kids taught. And so that's the only unfortunate thing about this, is that children are going to suffer if you have lower skilled teachers who maybe aren't as qualified.
Well, Walker, that is a great point. Let me, as you were talking about that, I thought let's create a hypothetical here and see how this works in the private sphere. If I find out that my favorite restaurant, in order to have diversity in the kitchen, is considering hiring people based on race or socioeconomic background, whatever, but they can't cook, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to stop going to the restaurant because I don't want food that's lousy. I don't care what the makeup is of your staff in the kitchen. I want a product that's worth my money.
Right. It's a good evaluation.
Okay. So the difference here is that this is the public sphere, and these kids, many of them, I'm sure most of them, can't go to a separate restaurant.
Right.
They can't say, I'm not going to restaurant A, I'm going to restaurant B, because they can't cook at restaurant A. These kids got nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are stuck in these public schools, and now the quality is going to disintegrate even more, which is an argument for school choice and for vouchers so that the parents of these kids can send their kids to some place that – listen, I'm all for diversity. You know, if you've got equally qualified potential teachers and you want to have a more diverse staff, fine, go for it. But they should at least know how to read and write and get the job done.
Yeah, and that's what's unfortunate here is typically we're all – conservatives are all in favor of local education, local control of education. In this instance, there's local officials choosing not to – they're choosing to lower the standards for their future employees. And so – typically, we would say, you know, local control over education, fine. They make bad choices. They're going to suffer for it. But there are kids going to be affected here. And so that's why, like you mentioned, school choice would be great here, because parents may say, look, school A, in this example, is lowering their standards for their employees. You know, this is going to inadvertently affect my child. Therefore, I'm going to move, you know, across the town to another school. But they can't do that here.
But I'll tell you something else that would happen. Steve, if they had school choice, this kind of baloney would be reversed because they would be losing students left and right.
The colleges – and here's the thing. They're looking at the outcome because a federal court ruled in 2015 that the test was not discriminatory, but they don't like the outcome. So the problem is they've got students coming to this college who want to be teachers who can't read and write. And a lot of these students are likely coming from inner city schools that don't have the funds, that, you know, for whatever reason, don't compete well. So school choice is all about competition. If that's where this problem gets solved, a couple steps below where the problem is being identified as. The schools that you send these kids to, like you're in a black community and your school is failing, your kid isn't learning how to read and write. School choice would allow you to send your child to a better school where they will learn how to read and write. Mm-hmm. And then by the time they get to this college, they can pass this test.
Well, I tell you, the public education in this country, and again, we always try to say this in case there are people who work in the education, public education system in this country. We know there are good schools and there are good teachers. We're not saying everybody, okay? But here's this article also points out this, and I'm reading it, and I'm just going, this is stunning. A 2016 study by the National Council on Teacher Quality, okay? So folks listening, there's a national study on teacher quality found that 44% of the teacher preparation programs it looked at accepted people from the bottom half of their high school class. Okay? You understand what I'm saying, folks? I know numbers sometimes make for bad radio, but 44% of the teacher preparation programs, the programs at colleges and universities that prepare teachers to teach your kids, 44% of the teacher preparation programs accepted people from the bottom half of their high school class. Now, everybody deserves a chance, okay? So just because someone finished in the bottom half of their class, I'm not saying you got to go out and dig ditches for the rest of your life, but I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, potential teachers from the bottom half of their high school class plus not being forced to learn how to read and write, which would be remedial education, and that equals what? Teachers teaching your kids.
Yeah. It also speaks, I'm sure, to a teacher shortage. If the schools that are training teachers would like to probably get kids from the upper half of the graduating class, but they can't because those kids are going into law or whatever other profession. So they get them from the bottom half, I guess.
Well, and you know, I've talked to teachers in the public school system, and I'm just talking about here in Mississippi and here in the buckle of the Bible Belt. And, you know, in terms of, student discipline and problems with parents, listen, teachers have a hard, hard job, very hard, and they should get paid more, okay? But this is not helping what New York is doing. And I hope there's some blowback for him.
Let's go on. Let's move on.
Let's go.
There's a political divide in this country, correct?
I did know that.
There's some people who really still are not happy with the way that our elections in last November turned out. And they are making themselves visible and known in more and more ways. I ran into this encounter online, and this is Sean Spicer, who is the president's speech spokesperson.
Right.
Press secretary. He's the guy that does the briefing every day to the press. And, we talk about questions along the line of when did you stop beating your wife? There are no-win questions that set up a false narrative. In the question itself, there's no way to answer it correctly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Listen to this interchange between this. Sean Spicer walked into an Apple store on his private time and wanted to get a phone.
How does it feel to work for a fascist? How does it feel? You have a great country. How do you have you helped with the Russia stuff? Are you a criminal as well? Have you committed treason too, just like the president?
Thank you.
Have you committed treason too? What can you tell me about Russia?
Such a great country to live in.
Yeah. What can you tell me about Russia, Mr. Secretary?
Thank you.
What can you tell me? You know you work for a fascist, right? You work for a fascist.
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Palm Beach, right?
How do you feel about destroying our country, Sean? How do you feel about that? Do you feel good about the decisions you're making?
Thank you guys
about
so much.
Lying to the American people? Do you feel good about lying to the American people?
Now, that's a girl who accosted the press secretary.
Yeah, as I was saying, this is in an Apple store. He went in to get a phone. It was on his own time, which, okay, you know, you're a face for the administration. You're kind of always on. That's a given.
Right.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with people coming up and challenging him. I'm even okay with this woman coming up and doing exactly what she did. She took a cell phone with her, and she's got every right to do that. Sean, I haven't heard one word of complaint from him about this, but it just brings up the mindset of these people that they are coming from a place where to argue, it's like talking about global warming with the true believers. You know, they started at a place where, of course, global warming is settled science. So going from that, why are you such a denier? You know, and then when you take them back to say, well, wait, let's look at the prompt basis of your question. It's not so clear. What? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So in this case, she starts with the premise that Trump is a fascist. And Sean was great. He just said, thank you, and walked away and really didn't address her
listen,
at all.
Listen, I fault the Apple store. They should have, when it became obvious that she was just going to harass a customer, they should have stepped in front of her and said, ma'am, you know, you have every right, but not in our store. You're not going to harass our customers.
Right.
And so I fault the Apple store, but this girl,
Sean's
let me tell
boy.
You something. Well, I know, but still, you know, they have a right to go buy a roll of toilet paper if they need it or a phone. You know, obviously, Hollywood people have to live with this as well when you're famous. Listen, when she says, how do you like working for a fascist? Do you know you're working for a fascist? Do you know how hard it is to define what fascism is?
Oh, I'm sure they couldn't.
Yeah. I would just say, can you define fascism? It's very difficult. There's all sorts of varieties of fascism, and several in Italy. There was, you know, in Spain and in obviously Nazi Germany. It's very difficult. So you're not really dealing with people who necessarily have their act together, even when they're asking it. But Walker, I mean, there's no answer that Sean Spicer could give. She didn't even wait for answers. This was harassment, pure and simple.
I tried to keep count of how many questions she asked him, and it was probably 20. But they were all repetitive, the same questions. But the one I'm thinking about this is, even if it was Josh Earnest, who was the former press secretary, and let's say a conservative journalist was harassing Josh Earnest, you know what I'd say? Let the fella buy a phone. If you want to ask him questions, wait outside on the public sidewalk and ask him questions, and don't load him down with 20 questions. But Sean Spicer can't even go to the Apple store. And I mean, how common is buying a phone in America? We can't even agree on buying a phone. You have to harass the fella while he's walking to the cash register.
Well, this was a girl who I read some of her comments after. She said, I saw Sean Spicer. What an opportunity this was, and you know, to confront him. That was her. Right? And listen, I've seen conservatives who have websites. They'll get a legislator or someone in a city or a congressperson or whatever as they're walking down the sidewalk, and they'll ask them questions. And it's obvious that the person doesn't want to answer the questions. I understand that, but to me, that's a journalist's job. This girl has the right to do it,
but it
was harassment because she wasn't even trying to engage him in a conversation. She was laying out question after question.
Right.
We're going to get to that story, that good story that you have, that kind of funny thing. We're going to get to it tomorrow.
All right,
because we are out of time.
So stay tuned.
I was blathering on, folks. We had a good little kind of feel-good
thing.
By the way,
off the air, Ed was worried that I only had three stories. I have more, but Ed was worried, what are we going to do with only three stories? How are we going to get through it?
I always do that. I always used to ask my mom growing up, is that going to be enough food? So there's something in there that just, well, I always want to make sure we have more than enough. Well, folks, we are done for today. Today's issues on American Family Radio, Ed Vitagliano, Walker Wildman, Steve Jordahl, we've been with you. Brent Creeley has been our board guy and engineer. Folks, thanks for listening. There is more great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow for another Today's Issues. Bye for now.